All right, so you guys know the drill. I get myself ready. Go ahead and stand up. Find a mother in here. Give them a hug. Find a mother and give them a hug.
Hi, mother.
Sunday morning hugs. Kurt, you can put the first slide, just the PowerPoint one. Yeah, hit the present button. It looks like a little that one. It looks like a little TV almost. No, go up right here. Keep right there. Yep. You hit that. Goes into presentation. Then you can just hit escape to get out, or hit the arrow key right to go through it.
Okay.
Because you might have to bounce out. Thank you. Breakfast in bed.
Yeah.
Oh. Wow. Wow. On Father's Day, I want ham, turkey, bacon. Yeah. Very true.
There you go.
Well, happy Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day. Obviously, a special happy Mother's Day to my mother-in-law and my own mother, who's not here, but I appreciate you and love you. Okay. Hey. All right, so this morning, obviously, we're going to talk about mothers. And I have a slide you can go to that talks about what mothers do and are. Mother, there's quite a bit you can glean from that, probably if you think about your own mother, or if you're a mother in and of yourself, a friend, a master chef, a therapist, a role model, a healer, a teacher, a fixer, a coach, family historian, mommy, inspiration, unconditional, counselor, network specialist. Well, I cover that for my own mother, but they certainly are chauffeurs, especially for all those football games, baseball games. Mothers have quite a few different roles. What is a mother? So I have this poem, and it is, what is a mother? A mother is someone to shelter and guide us, to love us, whatever we do, with a warm understanding and infinite patience and wonderful gentleness too. How often a mother means swift reassurance. In soothing our small childish fears, how tenderly mothers watch over their children and treasure them through the years. The heart of a mother is full of forgiveness for any mistake, big or small, and generous always in helping her family, those needs she has placed above all. A mother can utter a word of compassion and make all cares fall away. She can brighten a home with the sound of her laughter and make life delightful and gay. A mother possesses incredible wisdom and wonderful insight and skill. In each human heart is that one special corner which only a mother can fill. Isn't that nice? Isn't that nice? You know, I was thinking on the way here, we've been stuck in this pattern of rain for a week, 2 weeks? And then finally we come on a Sunday morning on Mother's Day and we have this wonderful treat of wonderful weather and sunshine. Isn't that God? Come on, I mean, it has to be God. Mothers have an emotional and spiritual and a physical connection with their kids, right? In the same way, our Heavenly Father wants the same connection with us. See, with mothers, I think we can glean a lot from the Lord, because we see our mothers and we see mothers who are kind, who are gentle. Anybody who's ever had kids, who's the first person the kids run to when they get hurt? Mom. Sometimes Lucas runs to me, but most of the time it's mommy. And so we see our mothers as gentle. We see our mothers as kind. We see our mothers as caregivers, as the ones who care about us and care about our well-being physically, spiritually, and emotionally. Revelations 3:20 says, If any hear my voice and open the door, I will come into their house and eat with them, and they will eat with me. See, meals in the Bible were special. Meal times for your families are probably special too. You may leave after this and go to grandma's house or your parents' house, or just go home and cook a meal for your husband. But meals are important because we sit around the table, we communicate, we talk, and we connect. And so connection is important. How have you connected with God recently? Have you as a mother led or appointed your kids to the Almighty God? My mom, so I'm gonna go into my mom, and my mom's gonna get this tape, so hi, Mom. So my mom was first saved, right? So my uncle, he was a pastor, and for years he had tried to witness to us, and so my mom got radically saved, and my mom continued to have a real strong spiritual role in our family. When I decided that I was going to give my life to the Lord, it was because of my mom leading me through the sinner's prayer. And then I got into high school, and you know, I started to really understand who my father was, Heavenly Father. And I decided I want to give up a few years of my life and go to Bible school. There's a couple people in this room who have probably had the same idea. And so so I remember sitting down with my counselor, and I went to public school. You could probably imagine that was probably a little odd for a counselor to hear that you're going to go to a Bible school that doesn't correlate with the job per se. And so I sat down with the counselor. My mom was right beside me. And the counselor started to kind of, well, why are you doing this? Why are you going to a Bible school? What are you going to get out of it? And my mom stood right up, and she was just like, no, this is what he's deciding to do. He's not going forever, but we're backing him up with this idea of going to Bible school because we know what the Lord's going to do. And that counselor was just kind of floored, like, okay, well, whatever you want to do. Moms put their feet down, right? Mothers put their feet down. They don't take monkey business. Right? So, what would your kids say about you? The Bible speaks highly of mothers who raise children and guide families in a righteous manner. We're going to look at two mothers in the Bible. In Proverbs 31, it says, the wife of noble character is honored by her husband and children for her virtues. Becky and I were recently at a retreat called Weekend to Remember. It's like a couple's retreat. Getting empowered by all these different speakers about what it means to be husband and wives and what your roles are in the house. And one of the things that really impacted me was that one of the speakers says, a husband's and father's responsibility is to honor their children's mother. Isn't that true? Are we doing that in our own households? Are we honoring them when we're speaking? And I'm talking to the men, husbands. Are we doing that? Because I look in the mirror and I have to think, I may not always do that. And I realize that, but it's a work in progress, amen? None of us are perfect, but Jesus gives us the tools so that we can see what we're doing wrong and work upon it. Little eyes and ears are watching and listening. So if you have kids, recall that, remember that. For us guys, try doing the laundry, feeding the kids, fixing that one thing that she keeps asking you to do, because you're honoring her in front of the kids. Amen? So let's honor the mothers in our lives. We want to celebrate your life this morning. Thank you for your sacrifices that you make. So we're going to see in the Bible two women who were mothers who made some sacrifices for us while they're children. But we can glean from that. Kurt, go ahead and put on the inspirational video. Oh, geez. Where did that? All right. Well, I kind of missed that part, but that small child right there, little chunky cheeks and all, he grew up to be a man who looked up to his own mother. Next slide. And my mother and I, yeah, we kind of get a little goofy here and there. We were actually in Lancaster and taking a selfie, but I love my mom. I mean, when you love somebody, it's amazing how you can just feel free to be yourself around them. Go ahead and put the inspirational video on. And this is of a mother.
My mom is
kids talking about their mothers.
Sunset dandelion.
The rose, pretty as a tuna.
The thing I like to do with my mom the most is go shopping.
Go swimming.
Bake cookies with her and bake brownies with her.
Play Yahtzee.
Play video games.
I like to snuggle with her.
What my mom does all day is
she sleeps late,
works on the computer,
watches TV if she's not cleaning.
She like hangs around.
She sings mortgages.
She just lays down.
Sometimes she doesn't really do anything and like takes care of the house.
My mom cooks.
My mom goes off of every once in a while.
We run 5K races.
The smartest thing that my mom said to me was, do not watch a lot of TV or when you go to sleep, you'll get nightmares.
The smartest thing that my mom ever said is that I love you.
My mom doesn't really say things that are really smart.
I love my mom because it's my mother's
a ring.
Chocolate.
Give her a new car.
A big hug.
I would give my mom a diamond necklace.
I would give her a lots of flowers.
My mom's favorite flower is pollies. I can't say it, Chula.
Roses. Hollies. Or hollies.
I don't know what my mom's favorite flower is.
Happy Mother's Day, Mom.
Happy Mother's Day, Mom.
Happy Mother's Day, I love you.
Happy Mother's Day, Mom.
Thanks, kids. I couldn't have said it better myself. I'm Jim McKinney. Celebrate your mom this Mother's Day with 1-800-Flowers.com. Your
florist
of choice.
He's like a mother.
Yeah, you're making me hot.
Silly. I found that kind of amusing because all the kids are brutally honest. My mom just lays around. I'm sorry, but my mother never laid around. She was always moving, all right? So I'm the oldest of three boys. I now have three boys of my own. But watching my mother, she never laid around. I mean, if she laid around, it was because she hurt herself trying to pick up our toys, or trying to, you know, get us around from hockey practice to baseball practice to, youth group. She never was laying around. So I find that kind of ironic, but mothers sacrifice for their kids. So I'm gonna put my wife on the spot because I wanna honor my wife because she is the mother of my kids. But my wife, she's quite the woman because she not only cooks, cleans, works part-time, but works full-time, takes college courses, helps me lead with the youth group, a multi-purpose type woman. And so, honey, you're amazing. I love you. And I know we have so many of those other type women in this church. I know, you know? And being a man who, you know, decided to come and move away from his own mother and come to a body where there's mothers who step into that role, it's delightful. It really is. And so thank you, mothers. Thank you, mothers, for what you do for our church. Honestly. Do you remember all those trips in the minivan that you took when you were young? All those after-school activities. So we're going to stir up some of those things. Family get-togethers. Trips to the emergency room, even. That was mom sacrificing her time for you. Okay? Did you know that Jesus sacrificed his time for his disciples as well? He spent time training and encouraging them so that they can carry on the ministry after him. Matthew 16:21 says, "From that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, that he must be killed on the third day and be raised to life." See, mothers, they sacrifice. They don't think about just themselves. They go out on a limb, as Jesus did. Go ahead and play the inspirational YouTube clip. It's hard to see the, it's in a different language. So I'll try to read the subtitles so that everybody can hear it, especially if you're in the back. And this little girl had just ran away from home.
No, no, no. Honey.
Do you want something to eat? I don't have any money. Sit down, I'll make you something. Why are you so kind? I'm not really. It's just a plate of rice. I'll tell you something. There's another person more kind-hearted than I. Ploy, it's noon. Time to get up. She doesn't care about herself. She's choosy. Mom, I'm going to... My friends are waiting. We disapprove of everything. Why was your phone off? I hurried home, didn't I? At this hour, you call it? I'm home, aren't I? I'm so worried. Mom, you need to give me some space. Here, fried rice with omelet, no onions. How did you know I liked it this way? Have you seen this girl? Never. If you happen to meet her, she doesn't have any money. Please cook some food for her. It's the same person who desperately wants you home. My daughter's about to have her exam, so I have to have her eat well. Give your mom a call. Mom? Isn't that wonderful? Because you see a mother who is desperate to get her daughter back, and in the same way, our father is desperate to have us close to him. Desperate. Go ahead and turn to 1 Samuel 1, and we're going to look at the birth of Samuel. Now, Samuel had a mother, like we all do, named Hannah. And she's definitely more of the interesting mothers because she's a bit less known, but despite her patience and prayer, she wasn't able to have a child. One day in her prayers, she started weeping bitterly, and God answered her prayers at last. Hannah's character shone when, in gratitude to God, in her newborn son. Her son would one day become one of Israel's greatest prophets. So we're going to read through the birth of Samuel here. So it's 1 Samuel 1. There was a certain man from Rephaim, a Zephite, from the hill country of Ephraim, whose name was Elkanah, son of Jeroham, son of Elihu, and son of Tohu, and son of Zur, an Ephraimite. He had two wives. One was called Hannah, and the other Penai. She had children, but Hannah had none. Years after, this man went up from the town to worship and sacrifice to the Lord Almighty at Shiloh, where Hophni and Phinehas, the two sons of Eli, were priests to the Lord. Whenever the day came from Elkanah to sacrifice, he would give portions of the meat to his wife Penah, and to all her sons and daughters. But to Hannah, he gave a double portion because he loved her, and the Lord had closed her womb. And because the Lord had closed her womb, her rival kept provoking her in order to irritate her. This went on year after year. Whenever Hannah went up to the house of the Lord, her rival provoked her until she wept and would not eat. Elkanah, her husband, would say to her, "Hannah, why are you weeping? Why don't you eat? Why are you downhearted? Don't I mean more to you than 10 sons? Once when they had finished eating and drinking in Shiloh, Hannah stood up. Now Eli the priest was sitting on a chair by the doorposts of the Lord's temple. In bitterness of soul, Hannah wept much and prayed to the Lord, and she made a vow, saying, "O Lord Almighty, if you look upon your servant's misery and remember me and not forget your servant, but give her a son, then I will give to the Lord all the days of his life, and no razor will ever be used on his head. As she kept on praying to the Lord, Eli observed her mouth. Hannah was praying in her heart, and her lips were moving, but her voice was not heard. Eli thought she was drunk and said to her, "How long will you keep on getting drunk? Get rid of your wine." "Not so, my lord," Hannah said, replied. "I'm a woman who is deeply troubled. I've not been drinking wine or beer. I was pouring out on my soul to the Lord. Do not take your servant for a wicked woman. I have been praying out there my great anguish and grief." Eli answered, "Go in peace, and may the God of Israel grant you what you have asked of him." She said, "May your servant find favor in your eyes." Then she went her way and ate something, and her face was no longer downcast. Early the next morning, they rose and worshiped before the Lord, and then went back to their home at Ramah. Elkanah lay with his wife Hannah, and the Lord remembered her. So in the course of time, Hannah conceived and gave birth to a son. She named him Samuel, saying, "Because I asked the Lord for him." Now we see here that she decides that she's going to make good on the promise she made to the Lord. When the man Elkanah went up with all his family to offer the annual sacrifice to the Lord and to fulfill his vow, Hannah did not go. She said to her husband, "After the boy's weaned, I will take him and present him before the Lord, and he will lie there always." "Do what seems best to you," Elkanah, her husband, told her. "Stay here until you have weaned him. Only may the Lord make good his word." So the woman stayed at home and nursed her son until she had weaned him. After he was weaned, she took the boy with her, young as he was, along with the three-year-old bull, an ephah with a flour and skin and wine, and brought him to the house of the Lord at Shiloh. When they had slaughtered the bull, they brought the boy to Eli, and she said to him, "As surely as you live, my lord, I am the woman who stood here beside you praying to the Lord. I prayed for this child, and the Lord has granted me what I asked for him. So now I give him to the Lord. For his whole life he will be given over to the Lord," and he worshiped the Lord there. So we see a woman who prayed, continually prayed for that son, was given the son, and then decided to give the son back to the Lord because she was a woman of prayer. She was a woman who understood that God was giving her a precious gift and that she wanted to return the gift by giving him back to the Lord. Mothers do sacrifice for us. Mothers also stand steadfast in prayer. And so we see that with Hannah and Blessing. One of the other wonderful women of the Bible was Elizabeth. Elizabeth was a godly woman who was righteous in the sight of God, observing all the Lord's commands. She lived blamelessly, and God had answered her later in life with John the Baptist. She was a prayer warrior. Just look at her cousin Mary, righteous women who knew the calling of the Lord for their children. Mothers inspire. Does your mother inspire? Has your mother inspired you? They challenge and display their unwavering love for us. They bring peace into difficult situations. They nurture and emulate how God wants to nurture his church with unrehearsed and unscripted love. Go ahead, I have one more mother's love clip here. Mothers have one of the hardest jobs in the world.
ING, proud sponsor of Moms.
Psalm 118, 129 says, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Let Israel say, his steadfast love endures forever. Let the house of Aaron, his steadfast love endures forever. Let those who fear the Lord say, his steadfast love endures forever. Out of my distress, I called on the Lord. The Lord answered me and set me free." A man stopped at a flower shop to order some flowers to be wired to his mother, who lived hundreds of miles away. As he got out of his car, he noticed a young girl sitting on the curb, sobbing. He asked her what was wrong, and she replied, "I wanted to buy a red rose for my mom, but I only have 75 cents, and a rose costs $2. The man smiled and said, "Come on in with me, I'll buy you a rose." He bought the little girl the rose and ordered his own mom's flowers. As they were leaving, he offered the girl a ride. She said, "Yeah, please, can you take me to my mom?" She directed him to a cemetery where she placed the rose on a freshly dug grave. The man returned to the flower shop, canceled the wire order, picked up a bouquet, and drove 200 miles to his mom's house. What a great example of compassion, and how important it is for a mother to be appreciated by her children. Again, one doesn't have to be a mother to glean motherly attributes, as they are part of God and who he is. And as Christians, we want to be like him. But now this is what the Lord says: "He who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name, and you are mine." You are God's this morning. You are God's this morning. We are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus, so we can do things he planned for us to do. Like a mother sees value in her children, the Lord sees value in us, no matter what others see. You ever heard that one phrase, what is it? Only a face a mother can love? Well, God loves all of our faces, no matter what anybody else says. God loves you. And God loves you for being a mother this morning and for what you've mean to your children. As much as they may push against you and say hurtful things and act out maybe some of their aggression, deep down, they see who you really are as a mother, and they do appreciate you. And that's just something coming from a son to his own mother. If you are a mother this morning, would you mind standing up? And I just want to, is it okay if we pray over mothers?
Yeah, is it pray over all the ladies.
All the ladies? We can do all the ladies, that's fine. If you're a lady, please stand up. If you're a husband, if you're a son, you know, put your hand on your mother or wife. But Pastor Steve, you can come on up. Let's just pray blessing over them.
Sure.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. So Father, we just come before you as a body, Lord, especially as the men in this church, Lord, who recognize these women, Lord, who serve a great purpose of providing those motherly attributes in this place, Lord, mm-hmm. of lifting up the children, Lord, yes. The teenagers, Father God, taking care of us men, even when we don't deserve it, Lord, but because it's out of love that these women step up, Lord. And so we thank you, and we just call blessing upon their lives, blessing upon what they touch, Lord, from the home to the workplace, wherever they move, Father God, that you would bless them in what they do and what they say, Lord, because we honor them in Jesus' name.
And Father, for each of the ladies here today, we pray that you would encourage their hearts.
Yes.
In any way that they need strengthened, in any way that they need encouraged, you speak to them. You say, "Well done," to each of the ladies today. You know that they give of themselves, they give freely, they give unselfishly. Whatever that looks like, you bless them for it today. Strengthen those mm-hmm. who need strengthened. Bring joy to those who need joy, peace to those who need peace. just bless them. Bless them. Bless them. Pastor Kurt, I think you have something to add, so I'll just let you close in prayer then.
Father, we just thank you for mothers today. We thank you for the potential that they see in their children, potential that we can't see in ourselves. And I thank you that they pull it out of us, that they encourage us, that they're our biggest cheerleader. Lord, I thank you for the mothers in this congregation that are doing that with people that aren't their biological family, but they encourage and they pull things out of us that we didn't even know were there or possible. And so, Lord, I pray that you continue to work through the women of CLCC in that way, and that it would be a blessing to this congregation, that it would continue to be a blessing, and that you would even enhance the anointing in that area for spiritual mothers to bring things out of us that we didn't even know were possible and propel us into the plans and purposes that you have for each one of us. So we thank you for these ladies. We thank you for these mothers and pray abundant blessing over them in Jesus' name.
Amen. Well, ladies, get a flower on the way out, and altar workers, if you'll come up in case someone wants personal prayer today.